Welcome to the Cabin Culture Podcast, where we spend a little more time diving deeper into all the fun parts of cabin culture. I like to think of this as both the material and imagined expressions of how cabin lovers, dwellers, builders, and designers wish to live a more simple and authentic life. In this heartwarming episode of Cabin Culture, we're going to dive into the inspiring journey of Kozuki, the creator of the Conscious Cabin nestled in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. From a childhood spent in nature to a fast-paced career in Boston, Kozuki shares how a series of life-altering events led her back to the tranquility of the woods. We're going to discover how the Conscious Cabin became a sanctuary for healing, creativity, and community, and how Kozuki's vision extends beyond just a retreat space, aiming to nurture and empower others through connection with nature and self. This is the second episode that has brought me to tears, which Sean keeps reminding me didn't even happen at our wedding. So if you're thinking about skipping this one, don't. You will be so grateful for the perspective that Kozuki brings to cabin culture and to your life. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you. Can you start? I obviously know lots about you, but can you start with a quick introduction, your name, where you're recording from right now, your cabin, and then maybe like a fun fact that someone would not know just by looking at you?
Okay. So hello, everyone. My name is Kozuki, and right now I'm in Conway, New Hampshire in the White Mountains at my cabin, the Conscious Cabin. And a fun fact about me is,
That's okay. I sprung that on you. I was an orientation leader in RA, so I have like a whole wealth of fun facts because I've answered that question so many times. Sometimes I forget that not everyone is used to that being thrown at them at any given moment. I mean, you could introduce us to your dog if you wanted.
I have her in the truck because she would take up this entire podcast if I had her in here. Would say a fun fact about me is that I spend more time in nature than I do indoors, and I would prefer to sleep on a mountain and sleep outside on the ground than to sleep in a bedroom.
That is a fun fact that makes you different from the majority of people, but really sets the tone for this podcast, because I feel like that speaks a lot to the overall brand of the Conscious Cabin and the stuff you're doing there. So let's dive into that, because your career prior to this was in creative marketing in Boston. What led to this shift that took you from that life to the life you're leading now? Can you kind of paint that picture of what brought you here and then what's different about it now?
Yes. So I grew up in southern New Hampshire in a tiny little town in nature, and I was always outside. And when I think of the memories where I felt the most safe and the most at peace, it was in the woods in my parents' backyard with my sister building a fort. And we built this fort. We had a moss carpet. We had a fence. We had a little bridge that we built going over the brook. We would go out and work on this place. And I just remember being out there as a child and just wanting to sleep in there and live in this fort. And then as I got older, the small town, I was feeling like I wanted to go into the city and go into Boston and just explore more. And growing up, my entire life, I've been creative. And in school, I always felt like an outsider. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I wasn't good at anything, and everyone was praised for what sports they were good at and being really good at school and getting straight A's. And I wasn't good at any of those things. The only thing that I was good at was art and creating, and that wasn't valued. It wasn't appreciated. So because others didn't see that as a gift growing up, I didn't see that as a gift either. And when I ended up going to school, I was thinking, what am I going to go for? All my friends know what they want to go to school for. I had no idea. And my dad said, he's like, you're creative. You need to do something creative. And I still remember him saying that. And that really was the first time where my creativity was was appreciated and was acknowledged as something more. And so when I went to school, I decided I was going to go for graphic design. And when I went in, I had this inner knowing, and I said this to my dad, I said, I'm going to go to school for graphic design so I can learn how to utilize all these tools so I can build an empire to serve. That is what I said. I didn't know what that empire was. I didn't know how I was going to serve. I didn't know any of those details, but there was this knowing that I wanted to go learn how to utilize tools to create. Yeah. So I went to school for graphic design, marketing, and then when I graduated, I decided to go to Boston. I was like, I'm going to go to the city. I'm going to get started. And I still remember people being like, good luck. Like, how are you going to use your graphic design? At the time, now we're in a more aesthetic world where branding is more appreciated. But back then it was like, yeah, have fun making money doing that. And for me, it was never about the money. I was like, I just want to create. And so in Boston, I was working for some really incredible companies. I started to see my creativity. It was appreciated. And when I first started, it was still taken advantage of. But then I started to see how businesses were using my creativity and my creative strategy, and it was starting to become their top business initiative. And then I was running a creative team, and it was the first time in my life where I was like, wait, this is my creativity is a gift. I used to think that everyone had this ability, that everyone could just create, that everyone could have a vision. And I started to realize that that wasn't the case. And I have this ability to have these visions and bring them into form. That's one of my gifts. And so I was in Boston, I was creating, and every weekend I was coming up to the mountains. This is coming back to nature. It was like I started in nature, went into Boston, and then I ended up coming back to nature on the weekends. And I used to think, wow, if I could just be in the mountains and work remote and just have freedom. I didn't want the 9-to-5, even though I enjoyed it and I knew I was making a difference. I knew that I was meant for something so much more. So I lost my train of thought.
Can we pause there for 1 second and then pick back up? I feel like you've highlighted what, in my opinion, one of the biggest struggles in our country, which is that we don't value things that we aren't able to monetize. Nature of capitalism. I get it. And that's exactly what you're saying. You had this creativity your whole life, but you didn't actually realize it until companies were realizing it, using it to make money, and therefore would pay you money. And that gave you the validation to be like, my creativity is a gift. Now, I think your dad came first, which is really beautiful because a lot of creatives never have that moment where someone externally validates it. Yep. But that struggle of validating your own creativity without someone telling you, without money pouring in and committing to it anyway, happens so rarely because our country just doesn't support it.
Right.
And so then you went into this career where you could make money doing it, but then you hit this point where you're like, okay, I need to leave this. And I feel like this is a turning point where your creativity becomes truly the gift that it is, regardless of what businesses are paying you for it.
Right. Right. And it is, I just had this knowing where it felt creating is second nature for me. So and to see it valued and to feel that, I was like, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm good at. So then I feel like that next point, there's this quote that I want to share. It's, your most powerful position is to serve the person that you once were. And so the person that I once was, it was that little girl who felt disconnected, felt like the outsider, felt like I didn't belong, felt like I didn't have any gifts. And as I kept moving forward, my spiritual practice and my yoga practice and journaling and just these really intentional practices and tools that I gained over the years that made me feel home in myself and validation in myself and my gifts was something, it all started to come together where I had this vision where I was like, I want to get a piece of land in the mountains and I want to create a space where people that might feel disconnected or feel the way that I felt can come here and reconnect in nature, reconnect with themselves, and reconnect in community. And with that, comes this feeling of safety. I feel like our nervous systems, at least growing up for me, I was just constantly overstimulated and trying to figure out like, how am I going to survive? And being in this place of rest and having my nervous system feel safe, it was when I was in my fort. So now it's like, this is the version of my adult fort that I created where I can welcome the adults that need to nurture that inner child and feel connected. And it's so much more than just a cabin.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love. And that's what first attracted me to your spot. Besides the gorgeous log cabin-ness of it, I feel like the first time I saw those clips from Dirt and Glass when they were there, I was like, this is what my like heart believes a cabin is. I can't articulate it in words, but just like the wood, even looking at you right now in the background, you can see the wood and you can see the like evergreen around your fireplace behind you, which when you were describing your fort, that's what I pictured, wood and moss ground. Like literally this looks like what you described as your childhood fort. So which came first, the cabin or the idea for retreats? Or did it happen? Did you know you wanted both? So you looked for land that could offer both? Or how did that come into like reality?
Yep. So the idea and concept of retreats, that was the initial vision. Okay. It was, I want to hold space. I want to create a space to hold space for people to come and be seen and to show up exactly as they are. Mm-hmm. So the way that I approached it is for years, I was looking for property. I was looking for a piece of land. It wasn't necessarily a cabin. It was a piece of land. And the initial vision was that I would build little tiny homes on this piece of land and host retreats there. And for years, I would call around, and in the process of trying to find this land, it was just really overwhelming. I would just hit dead ends, and I would call places and be like, oh yeah, I want to build tiny homes on this property. I want to host retreats. And I was just constantly met with like, what are you trying to do? No, you can't do this. Need to have a minimum square footage of this. You can't have tiny homes. And it was just a constant no, 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 no. So I would take breaks and
wait, is this in New Hampshire, the state of live free or die?
Yeah.
And they were constantly telling you, no, you can't build a tiny home.
I didn't realize how just like the zoning and the requirements. I used to think, oh, you get a piece of land and you can do whatever you want with it. No, not at all. Not at all. So before I found this property, I had found two that I was interested in, just nothing worked out. I couldn't get financing. It just didn't fall into place. It was just constant challenge after challenge. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep looking. And I would take breaks from looking. And October 2020, I was taking a little staycation up here. And I hopped on Zillow one night and this place came up, and it was on Zillow for over a year.
How had you not seen it before?
I know. I was like, how have I not seen this? And it came up, so it was zoned as commercial. And I think all those times I was looking, I was doing it as residential.
Yep.
But for a year, I did not see this place. So the next day I was like, I'm going to check it out.
Okay. Wait, before we get to you checking it out, when you saw the listing, what stood out to you the most? Cause I know this feeling of scrolling Zillow. And so what was it that like you saw and you were like, this might be it?
One of my friends used to say that because I see potential, like I can see something that is just completely like trash and absolute garbage and be like, I see so much potential in this. And a lot of my friends will make fun of me for that. And they're just like, that is like, you see like a hole in the wall and you're like, I see potential, but that's just how I am. And I saw this place and it was abandoned. There was garbage everywhere. It was just, it was not loved anymore, but I could feel the history of it. And I saw it and I saw potential. And when I drove up the next morning, I was just like, yes, this is it. And I called and the seller's realtor was like, unless you're paying cash, you're not going to get this place. Like you can't get financing because again, with the financing rules, I think you need to have two of either septic, well, or electric. You need to have two of the three in order to get financing. And all it had was electric. It was very poorly done. So I redid all of that, but all it had was electric. So he's like, unless you're paying cash, you're not going to get financing. And he had said a lot of people before me had tried to get it and couldn't get financing. So
that's why it was still on the market a year later.
Yep. And he was just keeping it real, like not wasting time. And I was like, okay, and that's what happened to me with the property I was interested in before. I couldn't get financing because it was off grid. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I just experienced that, but I'm going to keep going with this. Like I just had this feeling. So then I got a loan officer and with him too, I didn't have a realtor this entire process. I didn't know anything about buying a property. I didn't know anything. I would just ask the seller's realtor a ton of questions. I would ask my loan officer a ton of questions and just be like, okay, what's the next step? What usually happens next? And I have everything written down in a Google sheet of the steps that I experienced along the way.
Okay, so that's a helpful resource.
I know.
Quick question though, why didn't you have a realtor? Because I don't know how it is in New Hampshire. In North Carolina, buyers don't have to pay the realtor fee. The seller pays both the buyer and the seller realtor.
I didn't. It was just never something I even thought of. I was just looking and then this place came up and it was just like boom, boom, boom. Like the way things happened, I didn't feel like I needed it. Like I was just going with it.
Yeah.
And so I got the loan officer and he was amazing. And I was like, do you think I'm going to be able to get financing? Like, really, am I going to be able to? And he's like, as long as the toilet flushes, you'll be good. I was like, there's no toilet to flush. And he's like, yeah, you should be good. Like you should be good. So I was very hopeful and knew, like just had this knowing, but at the same time, there was a piece of me that was like, don't get too attached that this is going to happen. Cause I could go down all these steps and then get to the end and be like, nope, this is not approved. This is not going to work. So
I really like the visual of you being in this cabin as you tell this story. It removes a lot of my anxiety in hearing this story. Cause I know the ending as we're going.
So yeah, I just went along with the process and I had saved up four years. Like I am someone who is a saver and I don't care about the shoes and nothing against people that do, but yes, I wasn't going out getting shoes. I wasn't going getting coffees. Like I was saving that money and knowing that I was going to invest it in something, but not really knowing what it was. So
you did know that it was your empire to serve. You did know that.
it was some empire, not knowing what it was.
Yeah.
So I had saved up in the process of a couple of years, I saved up around $70,000 and I I think a reason why I was able to get financing was because I was putting a large amount down in my down payment. And I'm so grateful for that. But in the process, everything, I didn't hit any roadblocks. It just went. When I tell you when something is meant to be, it will be. It was just like, this step, sign this, do this, get the inspection, get the appraisal, blah, 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 blah. And everything, when they were like, your closing date, December 18th, 2020, after the wild year that 2020 was, to end it with that, it was like the cherry on top. And when I came in here the next day and it was freezing and it just trash everywhere, I was like, I did it. Let's do this. Like, let's create this.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, let's fucking go. So,
okay. So what has been so fun about watching your journey on Instagram? And I don't remember when I first started following, but it was during a lot of this building phase. Cause I remember feeling like I was there for a lot of this there, you know what I mean? But what I remember thinking from a distance was how quickly you were getting the retreats up. And I feel like retreats are often a second thought. Where I've seen them in the past, it's like, I've got a cabin. Now, how do we add an additional revenue stream? Well, maybe we'll host retreats, right? Or how do we fill empty dates? Well, maybe we'll host retreats. And with you, it felt like, no, let's host retreats first. At least from an outsider, it was clear that this was part of the core mission. So I really want to spend some time. We've talked about a lot about cabins, and I want to hear more about your cabin too, but I really want to hear about the retreats and how you took this dream of creating a safe space for people and brought it into reality so quickly after closing on the land.
Yep. Yeah. So so 2021, I was working on renovating everything. So putting in a septic, putting in a well, plumbing, building. This room itself was like this, but really everything else, it was just bringing it back to life and putting love into it. And in that process in 2021, I was also going through my yoga teacher training. And I was up here 90% of the time, essentially off grid. I didn't have water. I didn't have a toilet. I didn't have those sorts of luxuries. So I was up here. I was taking my training through Zoom. And
so you had internet?
I had internet. I had internet because I had electric. So I was able to get an internet.
Okay. Amazing.
So as I was doing the renovation, I was also doing my training. Uh-huh. And going through both of those at the same time and living this like off-grid way, it just, something in me changed. And one of my friends, she had said, let me back up and just share that on this property, there were four structures. So there was this main cabin. There was a shed right in the center of the backyard where I have the retreat space. And then there were two other structures. And I was told that the family that owned this and started in the 1930s had three children, and they had this main cabin and built a structure for each of their children. And so I took down the shed and I repurposed all the wood from the shed to renovate this cabin. So in the kitchen, all the beams, all the trims, the ceiling, it's all the wood from repurposed from the shed.
Which is not only historically cool that you're preserving it, but also at that time period, the cost of lumber had skyrocketed to like triple the normal cost. Right. So budget-wise, that probably was also a very smart decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did help. So my long-term vision with this property was to have this cabin and then using the footprints of the other two structures, build two other cabins so that for retreats, the guests would all be able to have a cabin to stay in. And at the time I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll wait because I want all the cabins to be done before I host retreats. And one of my friends, she was at this point where she's a coach, and she was in this point where she kept saying, like, taking messy action. And when she said that, I was like, okay, I want to host retreats. All the cabins aren't done, but how can I still get started? How can I still do this? And then I thought glamping tents, and I love camping. I love being outside. So it felt very aligned.
Yeah.
So I had this cabin I was working on, and I was like, I'm going to get 4 glamping tents, put those outside, bring this same feeling of what you feel when you come in here into the glamping tents. And I'm just going to get started, messy action. I'm going to do it. So all of 2021 was the renovation, and just, I finished renovating. My first guest was staying in January 2022, and I finished a day before they checked in.
Same, I can relate to that.
And then I launched a retreat. My first retreat was June 2022, and I launched it maybe a month and a half before the retreat. And I was like, I don't know, I'm just gonna, and at first I thought I was gonna facilitate, I was gonna do all the cooking, and then as it got closer, I was like, wait, I can't cook everything and also facilitate. And so yeah. I started just navigating. I found this amazing cafe right down the street. I found this incredible private chef that I used to work with, and I just started to bring all this together. And a big piece for me, not only with the retreats, but with the cabin and this property, is collaboration. Collaboration is a huge piece for me as a creator, and knowing what it feels like to not be valued as a creator. I want to support as many creators as I can with this space. So I work with a lot of photographers, just a lot of different creators, artists, people that want to come here. And whenever I get emails of people who want to figure out how to collaborate, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Let's figure it out.
And Suki, I love this, because this comes up so much on the podcast and in conversation, where collaborate is a dirty word. And I understand why, because there's so many UGC content creators who are pitching you left and right. So you hear the word collaborate and you're like, basically you want a free stay, like whatever. But I feel like there's another mindset for this, and that's yours, which is like, collaboration is good. It has always been good. Let's not let a lot of pitches ruin that. Instead, let's think about, what do we do with them? I mean, Pete, who designed Cozy Rock, the best advice he gave me during the build is, he said, he shrugged his shoulders once and he's like, yeah, I never said no to someone who wanted a free stay in exchange for photos. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And ever since he said that, I did the same thing at Cozy Rock, and those relationships, and I feel like that karma adds up over time. So hearing that from you is really validating that collaboration does not have to be a bad word.
Right. And the way that something that helps me, like when I think of collaboration, when you think of bees, right, in their hive, and if it was just one bee just trying to do all this, it's not going to happen. It takes the community and the collaboration of all the bees to create the sweetness. So it's the same thing with humans. When we collaborate, there's more sweetness than if you were to just do something yourself. So that's a big piece for me is, yeah, I might not be able to say yes to all of the collab offerings I'm getting at this moment, but I have them all saved, and I'm creating relationships with these people, because again, it goes back to connection for me. And if I can even have a phone call with this person to hear their ideas and just also validate their creativity and their ideas, that right there is coming back to my entire mission of cultivating connection.
Yeah. So, and serving your younger self too. I forget the exact quote, but I can't stop thinking about that. But you were a creative who felt like, oh, I'm not good at these other things that people are being rewarded for. And so now you're able to validate that for your younger self. I love that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So take me back to that first retreat. So you got a local cafe, to help. I really want to hear what the retreat experience is like. And I feel like other people need to hear that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I decided to host this first retreat with one of my friends that was in my yoga and meditation community. And it was both of our first retreats. And we met weekly and would just talk about and dream about what this would be like and creating the schedule. A big thing like with the retreats is I want to have practices that support you in cultivating that connection with nature, with yourself, with community. And the practices, and then different activities where you can connect in nature and like your wildness. Cause at our core, we are inherently wild. Like we're raw, we're untamed. And then as we go through life, we have all these layers and conditions and it like dulls our sparkle. So it's like coming back to the wild. And what better way to do that than going in the water, going in the river, like just all these different activities that we have depending on what the intention of the retreat is. So, yeah, connection, practices, nature.
Can you give me an example of like one or two of those activities just so someone can like picture what this looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. So there was one activity where we hiked out to a river. And in the hike out, we did forest bathing. When you're walking slowly, like slower than you would normally walk. And we walked out there quietly, just observing, like really noticing the branches sway, like seeing the leaves fall, whatever it is, just really noticing the environment that you're in and walking through. And then we got to the river and we've had some different plant medicine ceremonies by the river. And actually during one of those, we were all sitting along the river and a mama bear and her two cubs swam right in front of us, just right across. And we were all just staring like as if it were planned. It was just so incredibly beautiful. And I will, of all moments and all the memories I have in nature, that was the one moment where I felt so connected to nature and so in rhythm of like the harmony of nature, just to sit there in silence with everyone, seeing these bears just cross right in front of us, swim. It was just so powerful. So
did
that
they
was,
see you?
They were just, we were just sitting there. There was no threat. So I think they did see us, but
they were unbothered.
Yeah. It was just such a powerful, beautiful moment. And there were a couple ladies that were scared of bears and they just witnessing them. It was also really powerful because to see and just feel the beauty of it when we think of wildlife, it can be scary, but when you're actually there and not threatening it and just like seeing it from a distance, even though it was really close, it was just, I was speechless.
We can coexist. If we approach with the right mindset and the right intention, we can coexist really happily.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there was another time where we went to that same river. I love infusing this river in the retreats. It's a spot where throughout the renovation process, I would go there and I would just sit by the water and listen to the water. And because at the time of renovation, I also went through a lot of difficult and challenging transitions and shifts in my life. So that was a place where I would go in nature. And it's just been a place where for all of my retreats, I bring people to this spot. And so another example of connecting with nature. So we went out there and we did this practice where we walked around, we each did our own thing and walked around to find a rock or a couple rocks that really spoke to us. And it was just a fun, like, to notice, to be present. Some people were in the river finding rocks. Some people were more along the beach. And then we came together, and with our rocks, we whispered into it what we wanted to release, like something that wasn't serving us that we just wanted to release and that we were ready to release. And we whispered it into the rock. And then we also said, thank you. Like, maybe that served us at some point in our life. Maybe it protected us at some point in our life, but we were ready to let it go. So then what we did is we all stood along the river, and one at a time, we spoke it out loud, what we wanted to release, and threw that rock into the river. And we were in this section that had some rapids, so it would just be taken by the river. And then after the person would throw it, they would howl just like as loud as they could. And then we would all howl with them. And it was just, when I sit, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, because it's this, like, when I think of serving, it's also just this form of empowerment to, like, go out there and be in nature and be with a group of supportive humans that just want to celebrate you and see you and honor you, and to just, like, it. So that's an example of one of the practices in nature that we've done on retreat. But there's,
I love this.
There's all types of practices. And I also leave room for intuitive flow. Like, I will create the schedule and everything before the retreat, but I also leave space for it to just flow the way it needs to. Yeah. And, like, there was one retreat where we, the first day, we had an opening ceremony. Then we went from that into dinner. Then we had a nice sound bath, like a very restorative sound bath. And some people just wanted to sit by the fire afterwards. Some people wanted to go to bed. And then there were some people that were like, should we go to the lake and go swimming? And I was like, let's go. And we, at like 9 o'clock at night, we went to the lake and we went swimming and just like saw the silhouette of the mountains surrounding us. And it was just like, we just met these women, like we just met, and it was like family, sisterhood within a couple hours.
See, this is what I think. I think women were born to have these relationships with each other. I think it's our instinct at our cores to lift up the people around us and support them, specifically other women. And I think society has undone a lot of that. And you watch The Bachelor and see the women bicker, and you watch Vanderpump Rules and you see all the fights, a lot of them between the women. And I don't think it's meant to be that way. And I love that you're providing a space that helps people go back to what I really think we were born to be for one another.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's so important. And yeah, what we see on TV and all these things, it can almost be like this competition, or you can't trust anyone. But really, at our core, we're all these beings that crave connection, that need connection. Yes. We need, that's a primal desire, need. Like, we need that. And sometimes it can be easier to not let yourself be seen and just stuff everything down, but eventually that catches up to you, and it gets to a point where, I know for me, I was like, I can't live like this anymore. I can't climb the ladder and like hustle for the rest of my life. I need to find a way to slow down and connect with women and humans. And there's such a, I think also after 2020 that it became more of a need.
Yeah. Do you remember the moment where you hit a breaking point and you were like, I can't do this hustle life anymore. I have to make a change. Was there a specific moment?
I would say there were several moments, but it got to a point where I was commuting into Boston, and I lived right outside of Boston, but my commute, it was like walk to the train, take the train, walk to a bus. It was such a long commute. And while I was at work, I gave it everything I had. I never felt like, oh, I'm going to half-ass this. I'm the type of person that gives it 100% always. But I did start to hit this point where the commute, it was taking a toll on me. And I was like, I can't spend hours a day commuting. I was craving a slower pace, even though I work really well in a fast pace and I work well under pressure. I started to realize this isn't serving me in the long run. And as I was getting older, I was feeling it. I was feeling the effects of it. And it was starting to take a toll on my mental health. So it wasn't a specific moment, but I knew that something needed to change. And again, I didn't know it was going to be this property. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know like what it's going to be. Like, how did you even do this? And I didn't know it was going to be this, but I listened to what I loved. I followed that. So it's like all these little baby steps where when you're in that baby step, you don't see any difference in that baby step. But the more steps that you take, the progress, you start to see the change as a whole. So, I mean, and then once I did get this property, even in the renovation phase, when I was outside just like cleaning up and I was doing so much labor every day and I wouldn't even see a change. And there were days where I was so overwhelmed, like, what am I doing? But also, I've never been so focused in my life as I was in bringing this to what I wanted it to be. So it's still very much in progress. I still have the second cabin is it's paused at the moment, but I'm hoping to finish it this year.
Yeah. For those who are hearing this and thinking like, I need this kind of retreat, perhaps myself, perhaps anyone else listening, how often do you do them? Is it women? Are all of them women only? If you don't mind sharing the cost, what does the cost look like? How long is it? Can you share some of those details in case anyone's interested?
Yeah. So initially, I started with just a weekend retreat, like a Friday to Sunday. So people that wouldn't necessarily need to take time off from work. And I've always been called to my first retreat. I kept it open for anyone to sign up, and it was all women that signed up, which I wasn't surprised. And then the retreats I created after that were just more specific to women. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like that's what I really speak to, like my teachings, and it's this like sisterhood. And so that's how it started. And then now I also am creating virtual circles with my friend Kenzie, who I host retreats with, to have this virtual platform as well. And we use her container, which is called the Soft Spot. And we offer new moon and full moon women's circles right now. And that's twice a month. And those are $22, super affordable. Just, I feel like it's a nice little for somebody who might be intimidated or a little nervous to sign up for a retreat. Those virtual circles are a great entry point to just feel that connection, feel that sense of community. So there will be more with virtual offerings and workshops. And then with the cabin and the retreats, this year we're also offering day retreats. So not just weekend retreats, but also day retreats, so that we can have a full immersive day. I haven't launched them just yet, so this is the first time I'm even talking about it. But each day retreat is going to be connected to a different element and also align with the moon.
So you could do all of them and they're each different and create a holistic experience, or just do one.
Right. So the So the first day retreat is going to be, I believe, July 28th, and that one's going to be with a focus on water. So all the practices, yoga, meditation, nature, everything in that retreat is going to come back to this like feeling of being like water and this like flow. And we're going to really tap into that. And then, okay, so weekend retreats, day retreats. And then another piece that's really important to me is to also create a space for men. I feel like that's really needed right now. And I feel like there are a lot of places for women to find these spaces to go connect with themselves, connect with others, but there aren't a lot of spaces for men. So
great.
I have been connecting with some male leaders that I trust and I've worked with, and about having them come and host different events and offerings for men. So that is coming. And the day retreats will also be open to anyone that would like to join. The price points really, it depends on the offering. I don't know what the price point of the day retreat is going to be yet, but it's going to be something that is accessible. It's going to be more accessible than the investment of a weekend retreat.
Yeah.
So that makes sense
because you're paying for a weekend retreat. You're paying for like lodging, more meals, things like that.
Yeah. So, but for the retreats, like right now, the retreat I have in August for a glamping spot is $1,100 for the weekend. And that includes your lodging. It includes all the food. It includes all the facilitating, all the practices, all the activities. It covers everything. And that's $1,100 is really, there's a lot of retreats out there that are the same time frame and are in the $3,000
range. I was going to say that feels very accessible.
So for me, I want to keep it as accessible as possible. And I will say for me, like everything I've ever done has never been about the money. It was always, I'm going to create, I'm going to do this. And by doing what I felt was aligned for me and like flowing from my heart, the money came with it. It's really, and I also want to say, because a question I get a lot is, how did you pay for this? I get that question all the time. How did you pay for this? How'd you do this?
Partially because the internet is just really nosy about finances.
Yeah.
Part of it is people wanting to chase their dreams and understand the practicalities of it. I get it. And part of that is the internet just like not caring about anything that could be personal and being like,
right.
Send me your financial spreadsheets.
No. Yeah. And I've had so many people assume also that I just came from money, and I did not come from money. I know how to stretch $20 over a couple of weeks. Like I did not come from money. And I was so focused on this that everything, all the money I was making was going to this. And all the money that I make from the short-term stays, it goes back into this because I'm not done yet. I still have like my vision. It's still so much greater than what it even is right now. And
that's literally my next question. What does the future look like? What is next? But before we get to that, can I plant a seed?
Yes.
Because my wheels are turning. Mm-hmm. And I get asked all the time about creating a retreat for the cabin culture, for other cabin owners, dreamers. And I feel like this could be such a cool place to do it for women only. Sorry, dudes. But there was a dude only creators retreat that I was like, so I think we could do it. But I feel like your spot would be so good for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I actually didn't mention that. So thank you for bringing that up. But I have opened this space for other people to host retreats as well. So I have been for women that, and men too, if I just haven't had men who have been interested yet, but women that have reached out and they're like, I want to host a retreat at your spot. Like, do you allow that? Are you open to that? And I've been working with a bunch of different people to make that happen. And in September, this upcoming September, I have this woman who she hosts retreats all over the world, and she's hosting two retreats in September here back to back. They're fully booked. And there's a couple other people that I've been talking with, and yeah, we're just going to get them set up to host here. And it's more than just, oh, can I rent your property and just host a retreat? Like, I really support them in the process, and I help them. I have all the resources. I'm like, I have, you know, like what works really well for a schedule. Let me share this with you. I really want to like share what I've learned with others so that they can get what they, you know, like get to a place where they feel comfortable. So
we should talk about that. So what are your other, I know that this empire is so much bigger than where you are now. What are some key tenets of it that you do know of what's coming next?
So I know that the second cabin is coming next, and it's currently a shell. So last year I worked on the exterior. So the exterior is fully done. And the next steps are just trenching the water line, the electric, doing all that, plumbing, electric, and finishing.
Yep.
So I'm hoping to get that done this year. And I had paused it because last year I was going through a really dark time and my dog passed away. And through, I actually do want to share that through this entire process, even though it was such a beautiful journey, I also at the same time was dealing with the most grief I've ever experienced in my life. So I had this grief coexisting with just like bringing my dream to life at the same time. And
how did you navigate that? Was this project, we just talked about this in the last episode of the podcast, so I love that this is coming up. Was this a distraction from the grief, or were they hand in hand and you were working through both of them at the same time?
I was working through both of them at the same time. So I had gone through a breakup from an 8-year relationship. Ugh. I lost my job. I started essentially two businesses because both like my creative freelance and this business. And then I lost my soul dog. So all of that happening, it stripped me from everything that I have known the last 10 years. Like what I considered my life, it just stripped all that.
And all the stability that goes with that, right? Like knowing where you're going to work every day, knowing who you're coming home to, whether that be a human or a dog, it takes all of that away, all at once.
Yeah. And there's something I'm at a point where I let myself feel the grief, but it also lights this fire inside of me even brighter. Like, I'm going to make this happen. There were so many days where I felt alone, where I felt lost, where I felt overwhelmed. And I would just be like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? But I kept on doing it. And
you were creating the stability that you needed, but for the next phase of your life, those things saved you for the last phase, but it's kind of beautiful it happened at once because you could literally create what the next version of you needed.
Exactly. Exactly. And this cabin nurtured me. Being in here nurtured me. And I'm very connected to this space, and I will touch the cabin. I will touch the logs, and I will just offer my gratitude because I was held in this space when I was at my rock bottom. And I would say, I would be like, please take care of me. Please guide me. Please help me bring all of this to life. Help me serve. Help me create and cultivate this connection for not just me, but so many people. Like, nourish and nurture people. And last year, in the process of bringing all this life, I was doing all my freelance work is what paid and funded everything. It was all my creative freelance work. And last year, the last straw of all the challenges, it was my dog passing away. And that just completely, it just brought me down to like the worst place I've ever been in my life. And I stopped doing all my creative freelance last year because I couldn't be on my computer. And the cabin all of last year supported me. Mm. It paid all my bills, everything. And it makes me emotional talking about it because everything that I put into it, it was like all the love that I've given this cabin, it was like it came back for me last year and helped me get through it. And now I'm just ready. Like my fire is back and I'm ready to just keep it going. And so that's why I paused the build of the second cabin, because I didn't have my freelance going last year. So I just needed to pause everything. And that's okay. Like I needed to take a break. And this year, one of my goals is to finish the second cabin. And then the third cabin, who knows? I was reading one of my journal entries recently and it was saying, hopefully I'll have all three cabins done by 2024. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're so ambitious.
We learned so much though from the times that we have to pause or stop or change route. Yeah. I feel like teach us the most. I am so not wanting to end this conversation. I can't help but think how beautiful it is that you literally physically poured into that space, both by building it and renovating it, and just by like putting your intentions into the walls. And now you've created a space where you are doing that for so many other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, my PMSing in the last two podcasts have made me so emotional.
But I'm so emotional too.
It's just like what I want to exist. Oh, I'm going to have to edit this out, but it's what I want to exist in the cabin world. And I feel like I get so sometimes saddened and frustrated when I see, you know, STRs, how many doors do you have? How much money are you bringing in? And like those mm-hmm. things are realities and I totally get it, but it's like, so not where my heart is. And so meeting other people who are creating spaces that I just so deeply believe need to exist in the world is just like really inspiring. And I'm just like really grateful. Mm. I have a client call in 1 minute. I'm very not ready for it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, we'll have to meet again.
I feel like this conversation is not over here. And I really do want to talk to you about either co-planning a retreat or planning it in your space and figuring out how to make that happen. Because what I've learned is that my vision in the cabin world is like not about like growing and scaling and money, but like if what if there was a group of people teaching about hosting in a very different way, teaching about sharing in a very different way that was heart-driven and purpose-driven and service-driven, and finding people who are doing that in so many different ways is just really beautiful. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
I feel like you're just as great as I thought you would be. I'm not surprised. I'm just always like pleased when that turns out, you know, because like in the world of marketing and Instagram, we're all trying to sell something, or so I've been told. And when you find out that what people are selling is what you really need, it's like, that's where relationships are born. But this won't end here. Thank you so much. Now I'm running late for my next meeting, but it was worth it. This was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcast. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can also find me on Instagram @CozyRockCabin. Looking forward to next week.